Welcome to Life Church, where we believe in equipping people for an extraordinary life in Christ through the Word, Spirit, and relationships. We hope this podcast will enlighten and bless you.
All right, grab your Bibles if you would, please. Hold those up in the air. Repeat this after me. This is my Bible, and I believe what it says. I can have what it says I can have, and I can do what it says I can do. I choose to open my heart and my mind to God's word today. Amen. Open up your Bibles to the Old Testament, the book of 2 Kings, chapter 4. Now, I have a lot of scripture for you today, and you'll never hear me apologize for that. Just like an Italian will never apologize for making too much food. It's just not going to happen. We are here to hear the word. Amen. And so I want to talk to you about secrets. We talked secrets last week, and today I want to share with you a secret about how to receive from God. There's a pattern, a biblical pattern I want to point out to you, and I want to talk to you about how to receive from God. And the secret is this: making room for God to come into our lives. There's lots of things God wants to do, and there's this preparation sometimes that we don't realize that we have a part to play in. God has a will. God has a vision for what he wants to do in your life for the next couple of days. But we have a responsibility as well. Amen? And so that's what we want to talk about. 2 Kings chapter 4. I want to talk to you about a guy named Elisha. Some of you might be new to your Bibles. You might not know who Elisha is. He's an Old Testament prophet. And there's two stories in this chapter that are back to back. And they both are communicating, I believe, a very similar thought. And I want to bring these two stories together. So is it okay if I read you a Bible story? Is that okay? I've always loved Bible stories as a kid growing up. It could have been puppets. It could have been on a flannel graph. It could have been on a super book. It doesn't matter. I am here for Bible stories. And so let's dive into our first Bible story today. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1. Now a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elisha. That's the prophet I was telling you about. Your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that your servant feared the Lord. And the creditor has come to take my two children to be his slaves. Elisha said to her, "What shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in your house?" And she said, "Your maidservant has nothing in the house except a jar of oil." Then he said, "Go borrow vessels at large for yourself from all of your neighbors, empty vessels. Do not get a few." Underline that in your Bible, please. He was setting an expectation in her heart to believe for big things. That's where we are right now. That's my job today. Do not get a few. Increase your level of expectation. See, sometimes we can come to God with a little bit and we prepare for a little bit, but God's saying, "Why don't you prepare for me to change your life? Why don't you prepare for me to completely change your situation?" Amen. And so she had to make some room for that to happen. And so he's building her expectation. "And you shall go in and shut the door behind you, you and your sons, and you'll pour into all of these vessels, and you shall set aside what is full." So she went from him, shut the door behind her and her sons, and they were bringing in vessels to her as she poured. When the vessels were full, she said to her sons, "Bring me another." And he said to her, "There is not one more vessel," and the oil stopped. Then she came and told the man of God. He said, "Now go, sell the oil and pay your debt, and you and your sons can live on the rest." Now put a pause there, and let's tell another story, and I'll bring them together. "Now there came a day when Elisha," same prophet, "passed over to Shunem, where there was a prominent woman," some translations say a very wealthy or rich woman, "and she persuaded him to eat food," which is not hard to do, to persuade a prophet or a pastor to eat food. "And so it was, as often as he passed by, he turned in there to eat food. She said to her husband, 'Behold, I perceive that this is a holy man of God passing by us.'" Would you underline that in your Bibles, please? I perceive. She saw the touch of God on Elisha coming by. He was passing by her town, passing by her house, and she knew that the presence, anointing, the power of God was on that individual, and she didn't want to let it, hear me, pass by. "Please let us make a little walled upper chamber," or you might call it a room. "Let us make a little upper room and let us set for him a bed there, and a table, and a chair, and a lampstand, and shall be when he comes into us that he can turn in there. And one day he came there and turned into the upper chamber, and he rested. Then he said to Gehazi, which was his servant, he said, call the Shunammite. And he called her, and she stood before him. And he said to him, say now to her, behold, you have been careful or thoughtful or kind or generous, all of those expressions, for us to take all this care. What can I do for you? A reciprocal effect upon all that generosity and care. Would you be spoken of for to the king or to the captain's army? And she answered, I live among my own people. And so he said, what then will be done for her? Gehazi, the servant, answered and said, truly, she has no son, and her husband is old. He said, call her. And when he had called her, she stood in the doorway. And then he said, at this season next year, you will embrace a son. And she said, no, my lord, O man of God, do not lie to your maidservant. And the woman conceived and bore a son at that season the next year. In the first service, the Lord had something jump out at me that I was not prepared for, and it blessed me. So I want to share it with you here. It was amazing to me that what God brought into her life was the secret desire of her heart that she either had been too discouraged or too fearful to even express with words. What if that's what God has for you in the next couple of days? Maybe there's these like surface things that we say, oh, I want a touch from God, or I need a little extra money, or maybe I need a healing. But what is the need or the desire of your heart that you're even intimidated to express outside because you're worried it's not going to come to pass? What if that's what God wants to deal with this weekend and accomplish in your life? Yeah, he's that good, amen? And he knows how to do that. And the truth is, that's the thing he wants to do as well. I love that God went beyond what she even said to bring her what she desperately desired and needed. That's how much God knows you, and that's how much God's willing to do for you. Somebody give God some praise for that. Amen. He's good. He is so good. Now let me bring these two stories together because I believe they're both communicating a similar idea. And I want to talk to you about the principles in it because they both deal with where we're going in the next couple of days. This secret, making room or space for God to do what he wants to do in our lives. Number one, the story of the vessels. Remember, the lady kept bringing more vessels, bowls, containers, whatever you might call them. Here's the idea there. The more space you give to the Spirit, the more he's going to fill. You can see that in there. The more bowls she brought by, God still had more to offer. God still had more to give. The same's going to be true in the next couple of days and for the rest of your life. It's a lifelong principle and secret. If you give God more, he'll take it. Amen. If you give him more of your heart, he'll go. He'll go in there. If you give him more of your life, he'll go in there. If you give him more of your relationships, he'll go in there. If you give him more of your finance, he'll go in there. God has more than enough. God doesn't stop, we stop. God has enough power, God has enough ability, God has enough revelation, God has enough anointing, God has enough blessing. If you keep giving him space in your life, if you keep offering yourself to him more, he'll keep filling you with more. Don't put a cap on it. Some people, maybe in this first service, you've already received the very thing that you came for. You've already been blessed. Hallelujah. You know what? Give God another bowl. Because he has more than you think you need. Come on now. Sometimes we stop. Well, I went to two services. That's even more than I normally would do. Well, give him a third and let's see what he puts in. Let's give him another moment. Let's give him another space. God has more than enough to blow our mind. He has more than enough than you could ask, think, or imagine. The limitation is never with him. It's always with us. It's we pull back. We say enough is enough. We say this and we say that and we put up barriers and walls. We run out of bowls. But if we keep giving him bowls, what I just want you to see is the more time, the more space you give God, the more he has to give you. You will never get to the end of the limitless God. Somebody say amen to that. Amen. Now here's the second thought about the vessels. What God pours into you will solve your problem. See, what is God pouring in? God's pouring in his presence. In these next few services that we have together, but not just this weekend, but take it as a lifelong principle. When you get into the presence of God, when you get under the oil, which is representative of the Holy Spirit, when you get into the presence of the Holy Spirit, what the Holy Spirit is doing in those services is not to make you feel good. Unless that's the need you have. You need to feel something. I understand that. But the oil, the anointing, the presence of God is to change your life. It's to change your situation, set you free from an addiction. to give you understanding, wisdom, or knowledge that will increase your station in life and increase your business and all the other employees that you employ, to change your marriage, to change the way you parent. What God pours in the next few services, in the next few moments of the Holy Spirit, is meant to transform everything. It is useful. It is beneficial. See, the oil wasn't just about the oil. It wasn't God just giving her oil or Holy Spirit. It was the solution to her need. And so when the presence of God is being poured into your life in the next few services or the next few years or months or whatever, see it as that presence has come for an effect, for a cause, to solve your need. Now, she had a responsibility, which is where the charismatic church many times falls short on this. She was to take that oil and exchange it into another form that could be used to solve her need. See, it's not just I felt goosebumps or I felt the presence of God, but you learn how to exchange or to look for or see. What happens is those powerful anointing moments need to turn into an exchange, into revelation and then action. Because in that presence, God can talk to you about the solution to your problem. God is giving you an anointing, not to sit here and feel good, but to know I'm anointed. Now I go out and I enact or do that which God has been talking to me about doing. There's an exchange. It's not just getting more oil. That doesn't help the woman. It's turning the oil, exchanging it into a usable form of action. Come on now. And so what God is talking to you in church about, what the presence of God is bringing into you, it's about changing your life. It needs to go from the sanctuary and be exchanged into genuine knowledge and deliberate action. And it will change your life. That's where people miss it. They come to a service thinking it's just about the oil, it's just about the service, rather than asking God to help them exchange it into anointed, deliberate action outside the building. What God is going to pour into you will change your life if you obey and let it happen. If you learn that exchange process. Man, that was really good. Pastor Kevin, that was awesome. I know. It was revelation. I'll get my own handkerchief if I have to, because I'll bless myself. That was an amazing revelation. People miss it all the time. They go to church. Oh, it was so blessing. But they don't exchange the oil into something that's going to matter. That's where we're going to not do that this weekend. Amen? Now let's talk about the room. Because it's a similar concept. Like the woman was giving him more bowls to receive more. The woman who built the room was creating space. She was building a space. She perceived that there was an anointing, the blessing, the Holy Spirit upon this individual. And he was passing by. And so she made time and space. Now, to build a room, which, by the way, this is why I have my tool belt on. Actually, that's a lie. It's not my tool belt. If you knew me, you would realize what an irony this whole thing is, okay? If you knew me, I own a hammer somewhere. I have a screwdriver somewhere. But I think this is awesome. I feel tough with this on. When I strapped it on, I just want to do this. Like, I can feel the facial hair growing on my face while I'm speaking to you right now. Absolutely. I need to get me one of these. I don't know what to do with it, but I need to get me one of these. Someone asked me, they said, do you want a socket set? I go, no, I don't work on electrical. And they looked at me like, what? Like light sockets, right? No. You'll get that at lunch. It was funny. The room. Let's talk about constructing and building the room. There is a cost into making room sometimes. There's personal investment in making a room, correct? It's intentional. It's not accidental. You won't go home today and be surprised that you have a bonus room on the side of your house. If you do, let me know. That's a great miracle. It's intentional. This woman invested something. Spent something, intended to build something, and that's where we are right now. It's not going to accidentally happen that you just show up in the next couple of days. You're going to have to carve out some space. You're going to have to build some room. I know you're busy. This is America. We're all busy. We've got jobs. We've got kids. It's going to cost you some effort, some time to build the room. But if you build the room because you perceive that there's people of God coming through that have a word in their mouth and that have an anointing upon them and you don't want them to pass by your house, then you create space and build a room for that presence of God to come into your life. If you don't build the room, he's gonna go by. If you don't spend the time, if you don't spend the effort, if you don't create the space, it's not just gonna happen. Come on. Yeah, it's gonna cost you something to get your kids to church on a Monday and on a Tuesday. I get it. I have kids as well. And they're a mess when they're up late and you gotta get them up early for the next day. I get it. But you know what? We need this. And they need this. And you may have to say no to some things at work and even go ask your boss in confidence for some extra time. You might have to sacrifice a vacation day. I don't know. But what I'm saying is building rooms, making space does cost us something and cost us some effort and intentionality. Amen. Now, in saying make the time, build the room, make the space, I want to be clear to say we're not earning the Holy Spirit's gifts by doing that. It's not by like, God, I sacrifice this, therefore I qualify or earn for this. Every good thing that God has to pour into you in the next couple of days has been paid for by the blood of Jesus and given by the grace of God. But here's the thing. If we don't make space for it, we won't have room to receive that free gift. The gift is free, but you still got to make the space. And the space costs you time, energy, effort. Come on. To build that room. Now let's talk about ways. I'm gonna give you four ways to make space or to make room in your life. Practical things. This is the preparation work today to get us ready so that by tonight when we come, we're ready to receive. We're ready, we have space available and say, Holy Spirit, fill it. So listen very carefully because you might need to enact one of these four ways of making space, maybe more than one. First way is this, making space. We make room through repentance. Very powerful word. And it's not a word that we have to be afraid of. I know with some of us growing up, that idea of repentance was beat over people's heads, and people have this concept of a harsh, judgmental, angry God. But I want to talk to you about why. Why is repentance healthy? Why is it part of the pattern of God being able to come into our lives? Why is it necessary in making room? Open your Bibles, if you would, please, to Matthew chapter 3. Just a quick passage of scripture talking about John the Baptist. You'll see again and again and again biblical pattern of God wanting to do something in his people and he preparing their heart, preparing them before it happens so that when it happens, they can receive the fullness of it. Matthew chapter 3, the Bible speaking of John the Baptist says, now in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea saying, repent, there it is, repentance, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Man, there is something huge coming. The kingdom of heaven has come. And he's telling them before it actually gets into their lives, they need to have a season of repentance. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is the one referred to by Isaiah the prophet when it said, the voice of the one crying in the wilderness, make ready. Make ready. That's what I'm telling you what repentance does for us. It makes you ready. It makes you ready to receive and create a path, like Maria was saying about Jeremiah 29:11. Make ready a path for God to walk into your life. Make ready the way of the Lord. Make his path straight. That's part of repentance. See, John was challenging people to repent, which means change your thinking and change your ways. Change your thinking, change your ways. Now, here's the deal with repentance. If we're stuck in wicked thinking or in wicked ways, first of all, when God comes to bring us truth and we're holding on to wicked ways and wicked thinking, we've got to let go of wicked thinking in order to receive the right thinking, the truth. And that's part of making room. I make room of my old, twisted, evil thoughts and ways and attitudes and opinions to make room for God's revelation and thoughts and truth. That's part of that. But let's talk about just sin in general. And I'm not talking about just non-believers who don't know God. I'm talking about even Christians. Those of us in the room who do live for God, we do have a relationship with God, but you know, we can also pick up sin patterns. We can pick up things that we've, along offense, we can pick up offense. We can pick up unforgiveness. We can pick up bad habits, bad language, bad thoughts, bad actions. We can pick up all kinds of things. Just because we're Christians doesn't make us immune to picking up those things. And so repentance is identifying those things and getting rid of them. Now, why would we do that in order to make space? Because sin makes us hide from God. Sin makes us cower. Sin makes us ashamed. And what do? We cover, we hide ourselves. And so here we come into a conference where God's wanting to reveal himself. He's wanting to speak to us. Oh, that reminds me of when God in the garden came to talk to his kids in the cool of the day, but they had sinned. And what did they do? Their sin caused them to run away from God. So one of the ways that we start by making room or making space for God to come is to remove the stuff that's between us and God so that we don't run away from him when he starts to talk, when he starts to bless, when he starts to be with us and pour his life and his anointing into us. Sin will keep you in the back row. Not that you're all sinners in the back row. Okay? You're amazing. Mwah. That's all I'm saying. It just slipped out. Sorry, I didn't mean to offend you. But hear me now. Sin will keep you on the outside of what God's doing. I'm talking to Christians now. Unrepented things that we're hiding and keeping, because that's what the devil loves. He loves to use your sin to keep you away from the very thing that will change and transform your life. And so maybe by the end of the day, you making space is you just getting honest, getting real with God, saying, God, this is what I've been doing. He already knows. And I repent. I ask your forgiveness. And so you can run in here with clean hands and a pure heart, and you start ascending that mountain when you come to church tonight. Come on now. Are you hearing me? And you run in here, and you are free and free indeed, and you have all this clean space for God to fill. That's part of repentance. That's the beauty of repentance. Now, I'll say it again just to help clarify. Why does God require repentance to prepare a place for him? Repentance is not about appeasing an angry God. Jesus already satisfied the wrath of God. It's about clearing out those things that are keeping you from opening up to God when he comes. Repentance is setting aside the weights that keep you bound, the attitudes, the old identities, the old patterns. Number two, did you get anything out of that, number one? I got three more. Number two, we make room by making time. We make room by making time. So practical. Open up your Bible to Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. I'm going to read to you a lengthy passage of scripture here. One of my favorite characters in the Bible, his name is Cornelius. Now, you need to know something about Cornelius. He was a Gentile. What's a Gentile? Someone who's not a Jewish person. Okay? Now, he has an encounter with God, and God begins to talk to him about creating a special time. Let's look at this real quick. Acts chapter 10. Now, there was a man in Caesarea named Cornelius. He was a centurion of what was called the Italian cohort. A devout man and one who feared God with all of his household, he gave many alms to the Jewish people and prayed to God continually. Underline that, would you? He was a giver and generous, and he prayed to the Lord continually. About the ninth hour of the day, he clearly saw in a vision an angel of God who had just come in and said to him, Cornelius! And fixing his eyes on him, being much alarmed, he said, What is it, Lord? And he said to him, Your prayers and your alms have ascended to me. So God starts talking about his prayers and his giving, have ascended to me as a memorial before God. Now dispatch some men to Joppa and send for a man named Simon, who is called Peter. Now that's the disciple Peter, the apostle Peter, if you're new to the scriptures. He is staying with a tanner named Simon. That's a different Simon, whose house is by the sea. When the angel who was speaking to him had left, Cornelius summoned two of his servants and a devout soldier of those who were in his personal attendance, and after he explained everything he had seen to them, he sent them to Joppa. All right, so let's unpack this for a second. Cornelius is dear to God's heart. Guess what? That's you. You're near and dear to God's heart. Amen? Now, God tells Cornelius to set up a special meeting with a man of God named Peter. Why? Because there's an anointing on Peter, and there is a word in Peter's mouth that's going to bless and change Cornelius and his family's life. You see, God was not just trying to create a service or work or something to make busy of Cornelius. God, when he loves us, tries to create space or opportunity for our lives to change. And so that's what he's telling him. And what does he say? He says, go get the man of God. He's got a word and an anointing, and bring him to your house. Set a special time for a special speaker and bring the family. That sounds like a Holy Spirit conference to me. Special speaker, special time, bring the family. Amen. And so he sent his servants to go and get it started. And so God has this whole thing in exchange with Peter to give him permission to go. That's a whole other sermon for a whole other day. Go to verse 22. So the servants arrive. They said, Cornelius, a centurion and a righteous man, God-fearing man, well spoken of by God. They're speaking to Peter by a holy angel sent for you to come to his house to hear a message from you. So he invited them in. Peter invited them in and he lodged them. On the next day, he got up and went away with them, and some of the brethren from Joppa accompanied Peter. On the following day, he entered into Caesarea. Now Cornelius was waiting for them, underline that, and he had called together his relatives and close friends. I want you to see, because it's part of where we're going this week, that not only did Cornelius create the time or make the space, but look at the attitude of his heart while he was waiting expectantly to hear from the man of God. It wasn't like he called for Peter and he just sat there half-heartedly. No, he prioritized it and he actually shared it with his friends and family. What does that mean? He was expecting his life to change. And he was expecting not only his life to change, come on, that anyone I bring with me, their life's gonna change. So fill the house. God's about to do something. Come on. God's noticed you. God's noticed your love. God's noticed your life. And God's wanting to increase you. Amen. And so what does he say? Carve out space. Make a room for my presence. Make a room for my message. Make a room for what I want to do in your life. Make time for what I want to do in your life. And Cornelius did that with anticipation. When Peter entered, Cornelius met him, fell at his feet, and worshiped him. But Peter raised him up, saying, stand up. I'm too just a man. And he talked with him as he entered in, found many people assembled. And then he went and he explained the whole deal to him. Now Peter's feeling it. Peter's seeing the expectation. He's seeing the faith. He's been given the time to do this. Verse 44, Peter begins to preach. While Peter was still speaking the words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who were listening to the message. And the circumcised believers who came with Peter were amazed because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. For they heard them speaking with tongues and exalting God. Do you see what happened when Cornelius made the time? His entire family was transformed. Sometimes we take for granted what was just said there. Oh, they received the Holy Spirit and spoke in tongues. Isn't that cute? Are you kidding me? They received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in a language that they had not learned. Sometimes we have forgotten what the baptism of the Spirit is. His whole family received the same power that raised Christ from the dead. Come on. His whole family received the same power that just gave all of hell a black eye. Are you kidding me? Oh, they just received tongues. No, they've been made able now to put their feet on the devil's neck. They've been now made able to walk out of any addiction, any bondage, to lay hold of the mind of Christ, to be able to move in gifts, healings, miracles, faith, word of wisdom, word of knowledge. They begin to operate just like Jesus in the earth. They didn't just receive the Holy Spirit. They were completely changed. Completely transformed. Their station and capacity in life had completely been altered. And do you understand that if you're not a Jewish person, that first Gentile getting filled with the Holy Spirit opened the door for all of us? We're still reaping the effects of Cornelius making time and making room. You have no idea what God's going to transform in your life when you make time and you make space. Oh, I'll just miss a Holy Spirit conference. You may miss a whole lot more than that. Come on now. So it's not about guilt, guilting you into a conference. It's about understanding some stuff. And that if he hadn't have been at the meeting and any of those relatives that hadn't have been at the meeting, they wouldn't have received the same experience and what God was doing in that meeting. Come on. It was an appointed time, an appointed place, an appointed speaker that God had brought together, but Cornelius had to make the room and show up. See, here's what we want. We want God to do in our lives what he would have done if we would have showed up at the meeting. But God does what he does at those meetings. And God's gonna say, show up at the meeting. Let me say it this way. You don't DVR a move of God. Well, I'll catch it later. You don't DVR a move of God, you get in it. That's it. Now, there's the pastor side of me. I'm getting all like kind. I need to hold on to my belt again. Because my heart does, I understand some of you got to work and some of you just absolutely, there's not one thing in the world you can do to get here. I get it. And I'm not trying to guilt you here. And God may do something different when you do listen to the recordings. There's still more of God. But we also have to have some realization here and take some tough sermon. When there are some things by missing, we're going to miss. You can't repeat yesterday, okay? And so, yeah, we prioritize the meetings. And if God knows and you know that there's no possible way, but here's the other thing. If there is a possible way and you don't come, don't expect to get what they got, okay? Because we're not prioritizing. And God is saying, make the space, make the time, amen? And if that came out too harsh, it wasn't me. It was the belt talking to you, okay? It was the belt. All right, number three. We make room for God by giving and obedience. By our giving and obedience. Why does giving make room for the Spirit? These are practical things. Because giving stretches us. It makes more space. Stretches our faith. It makes more space. Offerings force us to direct our hearts towards the things of God. Whatever you send your money towards directs your heart towards that thing. Do you understand that to be a biblical principle, a life principle? When you direct your heart towards your spouse, your finances follow. You take care of them. You do what needs to be done. You direct your heart towards your kids. Your finances follow. Your grandkids, you direct your heart towards your grandkids. Finances follow. Whatever your heart's directed towards, your finances follow. It's part of making space for that thing. If you love golf, finances follow. If you love other hobbies, finances follow. You direct your heart and your giving, they direct themselves. So as I can take my giving and give into the kingdom of God, it directs my heart to listen to God, to focus on God, to prioritize God. Matthew chapter 6, verse 21, for where your treasure is, there goes your heart. There it goes. I have the ability to direct my heart on the things of God by my action of giving, my generosity. Your giving does a lot of things. Did you know that your giving, your offerings actually speak and make declarations for you? We may not realize that, but our giving is saying a bunch of things. It's making declarations. This is my wallet, okay? And so my giving makes declarations like, God, I honor you. It's making a statement of faith. It's expanding my heart. It's focusing my attention, which is making room. God, I trust you. Shama, shama, shama. God, I look to you. God, I delight and celebrate you. God, your kingdom advancement is important to me. Some of you have not talked to your wallet in a while. Some of your wallets are like, leave me at home. Don't worry, we have text giving. Generosity and obedience puts us in position to receive. It's the way it is. Generosity and obedience puts us in position to receive. Think about it. The woman's care. Remember he said the care? Her generosity was part of building the room. She built the room. That was her generosity building the room. Can you see this? She put a bed in that room. That's her generosity putting a bed in that room. And then she's like, oh, give him a chair. Let him sit down somewhere. Hey, give him a lampstand. Give him a desk. What does that sound like? Generosity. Part of her making room was the expressions of her generosity. In Cornelius, we saw multiple times in the book of Acts chapter 10 that his almsgiving was directing things. God noticed those things and began to set that appointment. Talking about obedience really quickly, the idea of obedience, about obeying God, makes room and space for God to pour things in and to do things. Everything God's going to be talking to us about in the next couple of days, there's going to be obedience linked on the other side. That's that transference of oil into an exchange that matters, okay? I remember when Maria and I were first married and our first assignment to preach was being youth pastors in Tulsa, Oklahoma. She was finishing her degree at Oral Roberts University. I took a youth pastor position in a small church, Woodland Park Assembly of God. We had a nice growing youth group. The church there loved on us. They took really good care of us. We had a great thing going. We had a nice little apartment. We had our first cat. We had it all, okay? We had it all. And the Lord came into kind of the journey a couple months in and began to deal with us that we were going to end up back at Rockford, back here, because this is where we grew up. And that didn't sit well with Maria or myself, mostly Maria at the time. We were happy, but God was beginning to draw our hearts back. And, you know, when you're young coming out, you don't want to go back home. You want to go out, you know, and do stuff. And God's beginning to draw us back. And we had a breakfast appointment set up with a friend of ours who was our old pastor. Jenny Mayo is in town, and she wanted to do breakfast with us. We were at a youth conference that she was speaking to a bunch of thousands of teenagers, and she wanted to do breakfast with us. And I told Maria that morning, she's going to offer us a position to go back home. And Maria was just, she was like, I don't want to go. Because we knew going back home, it was going to be busy. Our life was going to change. We weren't going to have our happy little apartment. And we were really loving it. And they did. She offered us the job to come back home. Now fast forward, you know, 20 years. And the obedience to come back home set us back up at Rockford First Assembly, which is then what set us up when the opportunity came to take over a small church of 18 people here 15 years ago. Now imagine that obedience and how that obedience created space for God to do everything he's done in the last 20 years. See, if I wouldn't have obeyed God, if we wouldn't have obeyed God and come back to Rockford, obey God made space for what everything God was going to do in our lives in the next 20 years. Now God's not done. And if we keep giving him more space, he's going to do more in the next 20 years. But listen to the power of obedience and how it makes room for what God wants to do. If you don't obey him, you're giving up everything that he would have filled your life with connected to that obedience. Man, that was good. There's a misconception here that the Holy Spirit stretches you. Sometimes people, you know, that idea, the Holy Spirit will stretch you. I believe that's a misconception. The truth is, the Holy Spirit gives you opportunities to be stretched, but you've got to stretch you. He doesn't force you to obey. He doesn't force you to give, which stretches you. He doesn't force you to obey, which stretches you. He doesn't force you to make the time, but he gives you opportunity to be stretched. We've got to take responsibility here. If we're not growing, if we're not given space, it's not God's fault. Amen. The truth is the Holy Spirit gives you opportunity to be stretched, but you stretch you by obeying God, by stepping out into new areas. You step out into new areas of giving. You've allowed yourself to be stretched and God can fill that new area. You step out into new areas of worship and God can fill and encounter you in new ways because you opened up to new ideas and new ways of worship. Evangelism, by sharing your faith, he gives you opportunity to share your faith, which will grow your life and the life of the person that you're talking to about Jesus. He gives you opportunities, but you've got to take them. You stretch you. You make yourself do the tough thing. You make yourself do the uncomfortable thing. You make yourself put down your flesh and to choose the things of God. Come on, somebody. And that's stretching your life and making it bigger. And you know what God's going to do when you get bigger? He's going to fill it with more. Man, I like this belt. Just throw my shoulders back. Preach. Isaiah chapter 54, verse 2. Familiar verse, but see it with a new set of eyes. Enlarge the place of your tent and let them stretch forth the curtains of your habitation. Spare not. Lengthen your cords, strengthen your stakes. I added for emphasis the assumed word, you. You have to enlarge the place of your tent. God's not going to do it for you. You have to enlarge the place of your tent. You have to let them, the speakers, the worship teams that are coming in, you have to let them lengthen your curtains. Amen? Let them stretch forth your curtains. Spare not. You lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. Last area. We make room by being open. We make room by being open. I love this address of scripture in the Bible. It's the easiest to remember. Jeremiah 33:3. Jeremiah 33:3. Super easy. This is what it says. Call to me, and I will answer you. And I will tell you and even show you great and mighty things, things which have been confined and hidden, which you do not know or understand, and you cannot distinguish. Look at the approach that God wants us to come in. He's saying, come, make an appointment, set aside a time, come. This is not like just in passing, like while you're jogging on the treadmill. Hey, God, what are you doing? This is about setting aside a time to come and call on the Lord. That's what we're going to do. And he says, I'm going to show you great and mighty things, hidden things, things you don't know. When you take that space and you make that time and you come in that heart, remember, it's about the attitude of your heart when you come. Like Cornelius was waiting expectantly for Peter to come to tell me what I don't know, to tell me something that's going to change my life. That's a completely different set of vision or eyes and a completely different heart than some people when they come into church and there's a guest evangelist or there's a guest leader and they cross their arms and everything the preacher says, they're like, oh, I knew that already. You're not going to receive anything from the Lord. Are you hearing me? Because you're not open. You're not making space. You're holding on to what you do know rather than coming looking for God to show you what you didn't know. And you know, growth involves learning. Growth involves learning. And learning involves humility, which is I humble myself that I don't know everything. And I humble myself to learn from whoever God brings and whoever God sends. Are you understanding this? Being open when you come to church. I experienced the beginning parts of my Christianity and my ministry. I used to be one of the most critical people you ever met because I've got a pretty good handle on the scripture, and I would sit there in service after service judging and critiquing every preacher and everything they said to find out where I knew more than them. And you know what? I missed so many opportunities to be blessed by people because I wasn't open. I don't come to church to find out what I know. I come for God to talk to me about what I don't know or to remind me of things I have forgotten and let slide. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Maybe I don't know what I don't know. So I come in humility and I come in expectation and God responds to that. God is limitless in his understanding and in his knowledge and revelation. And if you'll be open, that's what's so great about revelation is revelation something God can deposit in an instant rather than an education, which takes years and years and years. God can give you his mind in a moment if you're open. If you're open, amen. So there's an arrogance for some who come in closed, come in judgmental and critical, and they miss what God's trying to say. But there's another way that manifests itself, I think, into more of us. Many of us wouldn't say we're closed because we know more than the preachers coming in. We may not sit there with our arms folded like, show me what you got and we'll see if I like it. That's not the norm for most of us. But another way that we come in closed kind of manifests itself like this. Let me say it the right way first. The right way in coming to services over the next few days would have this question in your mind. I wonder what God might say to me. That's a very open comment. That's a very open statement, a very open heart. I wonder what God might say to me tonight or tomorrow night or Tuesday night. I wonder what he will say to me versus the negative side, which is what I'm saying is the majority of the way many people come in versus God better confirm or say this to me. See, people come into conferences and prophetic meetings or services, and they have an agenda. God better talk to me about my money, because that's what I'm worried about. That's where my anxiety is. You hear what I'm saying? That's not coming in open. Maybe God doesn't want to talk to you about your money. Maybe God wants to talk to you about something else. You're like, I don't care. I want to know about my money. I can say from a very vulnerable place, many of you know we have a son that's in a wheelchair. He's born with cerebral palsy. I've been to many services and meetings where I wanted God to talk to me about his healing. 2 times in 10 years, God's talked to me about his healing. Most of the time, God talks to me about my assignment. God talks to me about my role in a generation. God talks to me about shaping and forming a region. Does that mean God's not worried or concerned or compassionate about the things with my son? No. It means he's already considered that. He's already working on that. But Kevin, I need to pull you out of what you think you need to be focused on. I have something else to discuss with you. I have an expansion of your life. Your life is not just about that. Your life's about so much more. And you know what? Your life is not just about you paying a bill. And your life is not just about you getting a healing. God put you in this earth for an assignment. God put you in this earth for a mission. You hear what I'm saying? And sometimes he wants to talk to you about more than the thing that's staring at you in the face. But sometimes people walk out saying, I didn't get anything today. God didn't talk to me about my healing. God didn't talk to me about my money. No, he just talked to you about your future and your hope and your destiny and the destiny that's connected to that destiny and your children and your grandchildren and something bigger than what you're currently worried about. Amen. Doesn't mean God's not worried about it. Doesn't mean that God's not thinking about it or working on it. It just means he's got so much more to talk to you about. So you come into a service rather than with agenda saying, God, talk to me about this. You come in with an open heart saying, God, speak. And whatever's on your mind, I will make priority and I will receive it as from the Lord. Amen. So good. Amen. So Brock, you can come as we close. What areas do you need to make room for God's Spirit this weekend? Could be multiple. Is it setting aside the time? Is it going home today and pushing back whatever's been on that calendar and saying, we're going to make time to make space to see what God would do? Is it stepping out into new forms of worship? We brought in Leon. Brother Robert's going to be leading tonight in worship. It may not be what you're normally used to. Making room and stretching your tent and stretching yourself so God can fill it. It might be singing styles of worship that is not familiar to you. Do you understand that? Allowing yourself to go there. What if they want to worship for 45 minutes rather than the normal 30? Will you let yourself stretch to 45? If you give God 15 more minutes, you know what he's going to do? Fill it. Amen. Don't check out at 30. This is a special weekend. We're allowing for some things. We're looking for some different things. And what if it's not even 15 minutes over? What if they want to go 17 and a half minutes over? It's not even like in a nice quantified, you know, well, it needs to be on the 15s. Or what if they sing songs that don't even rhyme? Is that going to bother you? Songs are supposed to rhyme. What is he doing? He's just talk singing. How is that spiritual? How is that doing anything? Just go with it. Just get in it. Push yourself. You know, do what you've not done before. Make room. Maybe you're not ready for field goal Christianity yet. Maybe you're just here in your worship. Just do what you haven't done. Raise your hands just a little bit and step out in faith. Amen. Where do you need to step out to make room for God? How about this? Is making space or room for God waiting on the word? I didn't ask these individuals to come and preach a sermon to you. Sermons are nice. Sermons are 30 to 45 minutes to 40 minutes or so. They have illustrations. They have cute little things. They have a beginning and end, whatever. We didn't come looking for a sermon in this conference. We came waiting on the word of the Lord. Imagine if Cornelius would have looked at Peter and said, you got 45 minutes, it better be funny, it better have 3 points, better have an illustration, or walking. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Don't come with your agenda. Come to hear the word, not a sermon, the word, and to hear all of that word. Even if it stretches you and it passes 40 minutes, 45 minutes, 50, whatever. Let them be released to minister until they're done. Maybe you being stretched this weekend is going to be inviting someone to church with you. You haven't done that in a while. It'll stretch you. Do it. Maybe it's participating in the offerings that come through over the next couple of days. You might say, well, I gave my offering on Sunday, but we're going to receive offerings throughout the week. Maybe God will have you do something of generosity in each offering, and that might be new to you, giving more than once a month. Or twice a month. You might think to yourself, but that's going to involve writing another check. I know, right? But that's more paper and ink, and I could get a paper cut. I mean, there's trees involved in this. There's all this stuff. Look, God may be dealing with you in something. He may want you to do something in each offering because each gift will be seed in a different thing that God's working into your life. So come with the opportunity to be stretched to give more than once a month. Oh, yay. Maybe it's coming up, last one, maybe it's coming up for altar ministry and we have times of prayer and we have prophetic teams or freedom teams or whatever. And you come and you allow yourself to be ministered to. You've been watching us for a while. You've been sitting in the back. I keep on picking the people in the back. You people in the back are amazing. I'm not picking on you. Okay? You're awesome. Matter of fact, you're back there to keep all the rest of us from running out early. I get it. You're like, we got it, Pastor. If they start running, we'll stop them. Thank you for the back row. But the ministry teams will be here. And you let yourself come down and get some ministry. Go ahead, stand up. Let's close in a word of prayer. Did you get anything out of that today? Yeah, amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, right now, we commit this word to you as Life Church. We desire to make space, to build a room, to put the effort in, the intentionality to make space for what you have for us in the next couple of days. And Lord, I ask that we would come ready with Bibles in hand. Lord, I pray that you'd even have us come with a notebook in our hand, ready to see what God may say to us. Open. Not our agenda, yours. And so God, I thank you for the next few days. I pray, Lord, you take care of the business at home, the business at work, and all that stuff as we make the time and create the space. Come meet with us, Lord. Come speak, come set free, come fill those spaces that we give. We give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. If you'd like to find out more about Life Church, visit www.lifechurchag.com and engage with us on social media at Life Church AG on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.